You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
Pastor Paulo asked me to speak on giving thanks. He said, as the year ends, can you talk about giving thanks? And so I chose a verse that is from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I started to ponder this verse, and I wondered, how do you actually give thanks in all circumstances when not all circumstances are worth giving thanks to? And yet the Bible acknowledges and admonishes us and commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, how in the world do you do that? And that's what my message. I'm going to try to smoosh in two messages in 40 minutes. So I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try my best to make it work. Because the Bible says this is God's will. This is God's desire. This is God's plan. This is God's way of making you live right, is to be able to give thanks in all circumstances. So the goal of my message is to answer why, because if you don't know why, then there's no motivation to do it. And then when you know why, you want to know how. How do I do it? Now that I know why I should do it, how do I do it? And so I'm going to answer those two questions. I'll start with why, and the answer is very simple and is represented by these Christmas trees. Because of Christmas. We want to give thanks in all circumstances because of what Jesus did. And for some of us, that is so cliche, so old-fashioned. I've heard this a million times. Why do I want to give thanks in this in all circumstances? Because it's very simple. Because the spiritual, Jesus, God, became physical. Now, I don't know if you understand that. The thing that is insurmountable, this thing that you can't touch, hold, fashion, this thing that has infinite power, has become physical, which means, and this is why you want to thank God for, the physical now can be spiritual. That's powerful. That's powerful. If you can think about that every day of your life, if you can think about that, what was previously impossible, you could never be spiritual because you're a physical being. Today, because of Jesus, you can actually be that person. Okay, I get it. But why is that important? Why should I give thanks to that? Well, let me tell you why. Because when the physical becomes spiritual, something magical happens. What is destructible, by the way, everything that is physical is subject to destruction. I don't know if you realize that. This Christmas tree will not be here forever. It's going to get destroyed one day because it's physical. You and I are physical. We will be destroyed. Your Facebook account that has 2 million followers will be destroyed. Amen? Whatever it is that's physical, your business that's worth billions, this building is going to go one day. That's the nature of the physical. The spiritual, on the other hand, is indestructible. You can't destroy it. And so when you have that opportunity to be like that every day, that's worth thanking God for. That I can make a choice daily to live in the indestructible because I make spiritual choices and not physical ones. I don't know about you, but that turns me on every day. I wake up every day feeling like this. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm 62 years old and I feel like I'm 35. Some of you are 35 and you feel like you're 80. Because the more you make physical decisions, the more you realize you're moving closer to destruction. Because the physical, the computer is going to get messed up and destroyed. The software will not. It will live forever. You just have to change the hardware. That's the spiritual. The spiritual is not just subject to, the physical rather is not just subject to destruction, it's temporal, it's temporary. The thing that you're, the fashion, the pop culture, the latest, greatest thing that you are adoring right now is temporal, but the spiritual is not, the spiritual is eternal. That's why I want to live in the spiritual, because that place is eternal, it never stops, it's not temporary. That's why you can get sick, and you can feel lousy, but you know that's temporary. But if I live in the spiritual, I know the eternal is I'm going to be happy. Yeah. It's a very simple concept. It's not even religious. The problem with us is we think the spiritual is about religion. It's not. It's about God coming to earth and giving me this opportunity, this gateway to live in the spiritual. The biggest fallacy of our faith is we think that faith is about religion. It isn't. It's about God coming to earth and turning what is spiritual physical, thus making us able to live the physical in the spiritual. Powerful thinking. Worth thanking God for. When you look at the saying by Heraclitus, the great philosopher, the only thing permanent in this world is change. It's true, isn't it? I was reading Instagram the other day and I saw this caption from InstaFact, the wall of fact. This was 2009, was cameramen that rode helicopters to do close-up shots and expansive shots were high paid until this was invented. And they're all jobless now. Because it's temporal. The greatest thing, the greatest experience, the greatest knowledge, the greatest understanding, the most fashionable thing you have is temporary. And the sooner you understand that and start making spiritual choices, the better life gets. Merry Christmas. This is a gift. The only thing permanent in this world is change. But it's also true that God says some things will never change. Why is that statement? Why are those two statements both correct? Because one is a physical statement. The other one is a spiritual statement. The physical statement is true. It's true. In the physical, everything will change. In the spiritual, nothing changes. You can fight it with all your might. Gravity will not change. You can try to offset that and say, I'm not going to believe gravity. I'll fight gravity. I'll do everything in my power not to believe in gravity. It will work against you. In fact, it will kill you. Because if you walk out of your building balcony, you're dead. And the guys that understand the spiritual know that gravity is permanent. And that gravity is the very reason why our Earth does not collide with other planets. And is the very reason why our Earth spins at a certain direction, at a certain speed, that gives us sunlight and morning and evening, which is permanent. And because there's a God who created all of these things. And the day you get that is the day life gets good. And so you can go to church all day long, tithe if you will, and sing your songs. If you're not making spiritual choices, nothing much is going to happen. You're just going to be religious. You should be shouting amen by now. It's like, this is gold what I'm giving you. I'm not even charging, amen? This is free. That's how God is. I mean, he gives things for free. The physical is limited. That's why you don't want to live there. The spiritual is unlimited. There's no limit to what he can do. In the physical, your boss is going to limit you. In the spirit, God says, no, Joey, I've got massive things for you. We're not done here. We're just starting. I don't care how old you are. If you make the choice, changes everything. The Wright brothers invented the airplane. Nobody believed them. Their father was a pastor. Their father said, that will never happen. In fact, that's insane. It can't happen. Because their father, as good a pastor as he was living in the natural, in the physical, in the limited. In the religious, this is where it ends and this is where it dies. The brothers believed that the spiritual is unlimited. And today, 4 billion flights and counting. 4 billion flights. And it's not even over yet. It's just begun. Because that's the power of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus did. And when we live that way, when we understand that human power, as powerful as it is nothing compared to spiritual power. The Greek word they use is exousia. Human energy and power, which is limited. The Greek word for God's power was dunamis. Renewable, never-ending power. It doesn't end, it just keeps going. In fact, it's renewable, it renews itself. It's kind of like the sun. I mean, every tree knows by its own inner workings that the sun has power and that it's available every day. Humans would be right to know that God who made the sun is more powerful. Why do we want to be thankful? Because the physical has become spiritual. And because of that, I can make decisions in the spiritual, or I can make decisions in the physical. Because we are 100% spiritual, we're also 100% physical, our life is going to be a basis of choice every day, whether we're going to do the spiritual thing that God says or we're going to do the physical thing that we want. It's that simple. You know that cartoon where you have a demon and an angel here? That's true. One is going to tell you, make the physical choice. The other one's going to tell you, make the spiritual choice. And every time you make the spiritual choice, you're headed towards a different direction. One will take you to the perishable. One will take you to the imperishable. It's that simple. The guys that have figured it out just learned, just make a decision to follow God every day. Because every time I do that, I walk not into the destructible, I walk into the indestructible. It's simple enough to thank God for, amen? I mean, this is, I know I'm not working for the temporal, I'm working for the eternal. I'm now living in the unlimited rather than living in the limited. Isn't that powerful? I don't know about you, that's exciting. Amen. That keeps me young. That keeps me thinking, you know, one day I'm going to die. This thing's going to melt. This thing's gold. It's going to be ash. But I'm going to live in the eternal. And everything I've deposited, every decision I made that was eternal, I'm going to meet it there. That's powerful. And every decision that I made was stupid. It's washed away because it's temporary. Because there's a physical side to your wife and there's an eternal side to your wife. As bad as she is sometimes. Because you're both spiritual beings and you're both physical beings. And by the way, your chances of success in marriage, zero. Because you're both sinners. And you live in a sinful world and your only hope is God. Amen. That both of you make spiritual choices every day. By now you should be thanking God. Your whole heart should be swelling. Say, God, thank you for giving me Jesus and giving me a revelation of life. My dog, Vito. Those of you who are members of the church know Vito. He's aging. So he's been having prostate problems. Thank God I still don't have it, but he has. And Vito needed surgery. That's why he has a cone of shame. It's because every time they stitch him, he's trying to scratch that thing off and bite it or something. And so they finally put a cone of shame. So I love Vito. There's no dog more loyal than Vito. I don't care if you have a dog or a cat. There is none. This is it. Okay. He sleeps with me. He when I get home from abroad, he just wants to stay with me. He just loves me. He's loyal. He's faithful. But you know one thing about Vito? He is a dog, which means he doesn't have a spirit. Which means Vito can only make physical choices, not spiritual ones. You are not a dog. You can make spiritual choices. Are you following me? Yes. Some of you behave like you're a dog. All you do is physical choices. So I have to make the spiritual choices for Vito. He can't make it. I've got to make it for him. That's why God entrusted the entirety of creation to us, is because he knows we're made in his image. We're capable of making choices for these animals. Vito can't choose between a male or female comfort room, amen? In fact, he can't even make a choice between trees and bushes. And that, you know, it's not even comfort rooms. We can. Because we're spiritual beings. And spiritual beings can make choices that animals can't. Because they don't have spirits. Now let's go to how. Pastor, I get it. I want to make spiritual choices. I just don't know how. How do you do this thing? Let me give you the simplest, best thing that's ever happened to me. And when I finally realized this, it changed everything for me. And it's simply this. Die to yourself. I've learned the hard way that the secret to life is what Jesus said to his disciples. Pick up your cross and follow me. I've learned every time I have an argument with my wife, the secret is not to fight or argue, die to yourself. Because in that realm, I'm untouchable. When I want to buy something and I don't have the money, die to yourself. When I have money and there's a sale and I want to save money, die to yourself. Everything. When I want to eat that chocolate bar and I shouldn't, die to yourself. And you know what happened? Every time I died to myself, I resurrected into newness of life. Because the resurrection is not physical, it's spiritual. And the spiritual does not exist in the by and by. It exists in time and space, but it transcends time and space. That's what makes it powerful. It sits in time and space. The physical sits here, but it stays here. The spiritual sits here, but it transcends beyond there. That's why it's worth thanking God for. That's why it's worth making a choice for. And that's why there's hope. Jesus died for you, but he will not kill you. He died for you so you can be open to the Spirit. You need to make a choice to die to yourself so he can resurrect you. And when you get so used to dying to yourself, you'll never be afraid of dying one day. Because you've had a lifetime to practice, amen? You're so used to it, I'm so ready to die. You know why people are afraid to die? They don't know how to die to themselves. They keep trying to live for themselves. That's why you're so afraid of dying. If you knew that the greatness is still about to come, and that the secret is to die to myself. Whoa! Physical and the spiritual. Both have needs. Now this is, I'm going to, how do you do this every day? I just gave you the big picture. I'm giving you the small picture now. How do I do this every day, Pastor? I want to die every day, but how? How do I do it? I'm excited now. I know the why and I know how. I've got to die them, but how? Well, it's the same way that this physical body has needs. And your spiritual life has needs. It's the same way. If you don't fill the needs of your physical body will rot and die faster. It's the same with your spiritual with your life. If you don't feed it and you don't give it what it needs, it'll die. That's simple. The spirit and the body is one. The body is actually a picture of the Spirit. That if you follow the very things that are natural to you in the body and apply to the Spirit, it actually works. Actually, it should be the other way around. Unfortunately, because of sin, we're going to have to treat it differently. For instance, you have a brain. Anybody here does not have a brain? Amen? Who is the one person in the room who has no brain this morning? Lift your hand. Thank God nobody is. Everybody's got a brain, and everybody knows that a brain can't function without oxygen. Everybody knows 5 minutes without oxygen, you'll tilt, pinball term. You didn't grow up there. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that common sense knows without oxygen, without air, you die. Amen? That's the way with the spiritual and the physical. Air, here, you got to pray. The parallel is so clear. Air, breath, God, you have to breathe, you have to pray. Air, you don't see. But why do you breathe? Because you know if you don't, even though you don't see it, you die. Amen? Same. God, you don't see. If you don't pray, what you just did is acknowledge the fact that he does not exist. That's why he's not worth talking to. People who live in the spirit talk to God multiple times in a day. I do, at least. I did it while I was in the shower. I did it in the car. I did it when I woke up this morning. I said, God, bless the preaching of your word this morning. Bless my holiday time with my kids before I fly out again. I never stop praying. Because I look at praying like breathing. You know what happens when your breathing is impaired? Life sucks. And that's what happens when your relationship with God is impaired. Life sucks. Prayer is a declaration that, God, I'm choosing to breathe today and make it a muscle. Here's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. In other words, pray like you're breathing. How many of you know you never cease to breathe, right? It's the same thing. The Greek word for that is adialeptos. And here's what it means. Consistently, constantly recurring without interruption. It's breathing. When you're walking, when you're in a train, when you're in an MRT, when you're in a bus, when you're in a plane, when you're in the office, when you're busy, when you're worried, when you're panicking, when you feel sick, pray. Breathe, in other words. If Nike says, just do it, we say, just breathe. That's what I did when I was in a booth this morning, downloading my keynote. God, I love you. I just really love you. I just really, really love you. I just really, really want to thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for making me know you. I don't ever stop praying. I pray when I'm eating. When I'm eating breakfast, I pray for my wife. When I'm eating lunch, I'm praying for my children. Whatever I'm doing, I'm praying. Because it's like breathing. Air. There's another thing you need. You can't just have air. You're going to have nutrition. You're going to have to eat. You know, without eating, you can't just keep breathing. How many of you know that's not going to work? A body needs food. And the Bible tells us that there is food. But Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone. Man does not live on bread alone. If you think that all it is money, and if I had all the money, I can buy all the clothes, and I can buy all the food, man does not live on just these things. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word, that's why you've come here this morning, not to click in your spiritual time clock and say, I went to church. You came here because you wanted the word. Because the word's important. Now imagine if you had that word every day, which is free. Food you have to buy. This is free. Amen? The physical body needs nutrition. The spiritual life needs the word. And those of you who are into fitness and nutrition know that 80% of life is about nutrition. What you eat determines what your health is going to be. If you eat well, if you eat the right stuff, they're going to be fine. If you drink clean water, you're going to be fine. Now, if you keep eating this stuff, it might not be fine. And if you keep drinking this stuff, no offense meant to the guys who sell these things. I mean, I eat some of this every now and then, maybe once a year. Amen? It's the same with your spiritual life. What are you eating? Facebook? Instagram? Netflix? No offense, I watch Netflix, amen? I just had my Christmas binge while I was in Singapore. Every year, I have a Christmas binge. I have all my favorite Christmas videos, and I watch them in a row, and I don't sleep. Reminds me of my childhood days. I start with White Christmas, a 1956 movie by Bing Crosby, which my father taught me to watch. And I watched that thing. And then after that, I'm going to watch Jingle All the Way. You haven't even watched Jingle All the Way? Arnold Schwarzenegger's Christmas movie? Oh, I love that movie. There's a scene there where a child says he wasn't sure, and they were picking the toy, and he says, "He knows my name." That thing makes me cry. It almost reminds me of God. Then I watch Home Alone. That's a Christmas movie. And I just watch it. Then I've got watch. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a 1940s movie. Then I watch my all-time favorite, which I don't recommend for kids, Die Hard. Amen. I mean, how many of you know that's a Christmas movie? But I do that once a year. That's not what I do every week. That's not what I do every day. Because I know my physical body, I can feed that, but my spirit needs to be fed even more. Because what happens in the spirit affects the physical, but what happens in the physical has no bearing whatsoever in the spiritual. That all my spiritual decisions affect everything I do physically. Because I know what the Bible says. He says, when you spend money on what is not bread, or labor on what does not satisfy. In other words, these things will not satisfy you. And that's why you keep addicted to it and you just need more of it. More, 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 which becomes less, 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 less. He says, listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. Isn't it interesting? This verse is interesting. He says, in order to eat, you have to listen. Because the spiritual, you have to listen in order to eat. The word. And eat what is good. And you will delight in the riches of fare. What's the result of that is you're going to rationalize the entire universe and your entire world based on my word, which means everything you do will work. And then he stops and says, give ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Listen that you may live. That's how this works. Now let me run this through. I've got 12 more minutes. You guys following? Yes. How do I do this every day? Pray. It's free. Breathe. Every time you breathe, remember, time to pray. Every time you eat, time to meditate on the word. The word is done by meditation. The Bible says meditate on the word day and night. Not study, not go to the room and Bible study. It doesn't say that. It says meditate on the word. In other words, you have a problem, you feel sick. And by the way, you know why? You know who invented Google? Let me tell you the real secret. It's not Segre Brin and Larry Page. Jesus invented Google, amen? Some of you don't even agree with me. You know why he invented it? Because now you have no more excuse. If you wanted to find a verse, just open Google. So if you're feeling sick, I'll teach you the best secret how to meditate on the word. If you feel sick, Google, feeling sick, verse. It will give you 20 verses. Pick the top three, forget the rest, meditate on that day and night until your sickness is gone. I guarantee you, you will feel well. Pick want to eat right, verse. It will give you all the verses, pick it. Who invented Google again? Jesus, of course. Of course, nothing happens on this earth if not for God. The dumbest thing that people think is they think they're God, that they can just do whatever they want. Wait until you start having breathing problems. And for those of you who are young, let me give you news, amen? Those of you who are young, you will get here, amen? I promise you that, okay? You will get here, prepare, okay? Prepare for the exam because you're getting here. Actually, every day that passes, you're getting closer here. Just keep that in mind because you might be living in La La Land and you think that you're not ever gonna get here. You will. You can have all the Botox. You can have a gallon of Botox. You will get here. You can drink that thing if you want to. You'll get here. Sorry. I'm just so eager to have fun with you guys. I miss you so much. Okay. Keep this book of the law always. Everybody say always. Always. Some of you, it's just once a year at Christmas time. Always. In your lips. Every time you open your mouth, every time you reason, it's the Word. Meditate on it day and night. That's what it says. You think it, you act on it, you dream it, you do everything so that you may be careful to do everything. Stop picking and choosing. Stop rationalizing. Stop saying, you know what, that is not right. Oh, that, he said that. Oh, forget that. That doesn't work. You start finding reasons. You'll always find a reason why somebody's doing the bad thing. You know, life has so many excuses. Stop making excuses for following God. Stop saying, you know, I did this and that. No, just obey him. And the reason why it doesn't happen is because you keep making excuses. Okay, oh, he said that. Oh, that other guy said that. Stop. Get into the Word and meditate on it day and night. And you're going to be fine. Promise. That I can promise. Not a lot I can promise. That I can. Then it says you will be prosperous and successful. Let me try and land this thing. Nutrition, clothing. How many of you know this service right now will not look good if we didn't have clothes? Amen? Not a good meeting. Okay. Your physical body needs clothes. Your spiritual body needs clothes too. And the Bible calls it robes of righteousness. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame will be uncovered. You cannot walk spiritually naked. You're going to be clothed. And then he says, clothing is it's embarrassing. It's when you have no clothing, the same with the spirit. The purpose of clothing back in those days, the reason why they called it a robe was because it covered your nakedness. You can't walk around naked physically. Neither can you walk around naked spiritually. And that's why the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he's clothed me with a garment of salvation. Salvation is a garment. The fact that Jesus saved me is now I have clothing. And he's arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. There it is. I greatly delight. I greatly thank God. I'm clothed. I'm saved. I'm righteous. My soul rejoices because I have garments and I have a robe of righteousness. That's the gospel, folks. That's the good news of Jesus. You can't pray that in. You can't make that happen. You can't earn that by good works. You can't sew that together. You can't fabricate that. You can't. You can only trust it that Jesus died for me. And that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because he's clothed me with righteousness. And trust me when I tell you that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to drive. In Manila, I've been driving the last few days, and I'm back to the wild, wild west of driving. Amen? It's like, and it's fun. It's like praying. It's like a video game in real life. And it says, I was driving with, some of you foreigners won't understand this. You got to be masters in singitation if you're in Manila. I mean, it's just, if you don't know that thing, you're not going to survive driving here. And regardless of where you are, someone's going to cut you. Someone's going to say something nasty about you. Someone's not going to like you. There are people who are going to Facebook things about you. Forget that. Just get that get out of jail card free. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I drove my oldest son to the place where he was born, where he started out. And I told him that I was never saved. I was drunk practically every night, stoned out of my wits by the time morning hit. She's an ugly person. Bad person, actually. I had to apologize to him a number of times and ask for his forgiveness for the times that I didn't treat him right as a little boy. And I drove him to the house where he grew up. I said, this is where you were born. And this is where we moved. And thank God there was no traffic yesterday. And sanitation, amen? So I said, let me drive. Let me borrow your car. Let me drive for you. And I drove him around. And he was quiet. He was just, I was telling him, but God redeemed me. He saved me. Saved my soul. I said, that's the apartment where I got saved. That apartment from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I had no water, and I had to walk to that corner to get a bucket to get water because your mom and I were so poor because of all my sins. But I started making choices, spiritual choices, that started changing my life, that brought me where I am now. And he looked at me for a moment and said, "You know what? I'm starting from a very different place." I said, "Yes, because you're the continuity of this eternal story. And your children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are a continuation of this eternal story." We forget how this works. And we turn it into religion, we turn it into anything but what it really is. As I close, proclaim the gospel every day. Turn that into a muscle. Don't ever forget that. If anybody says something wrong about you, that's fine. You know that guy? He's pop culture. Forget him, okay? God said, "I love you. I care about you. I paid for your sins. You can't do anything past, present, and future that I'm not willing to pay for." When that becomes a muscle of your soul, you will no longer walk in condemnation. You're going to be free from fear, from the words of others, from trying to live up to others. Christians have forgotten this powerful muscle. They haven't gotten used to doing push-ups on this muscle. Develop it. That's how. Finally, every physical being needs a house. Without a house, you can have clothes, you can have food, you can have air. You need a house. Amen? That's logical enough for you. So what is that house spiritually? Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household. God has a house. And that's this place. This is the church. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He's talking about the house. The house of God in the Spirit is in him where the whole building is joined together. It's relationships. When I first landed here, I just kept calling all my friends. "Hey, can we have coffee? Hey, can we have..." And I just love fellowshipping with believers. Because it's the house of God. It's not Sunday. It's every day. I love hanging out with my kids. I love when you called me and then messaged me about your wife's situation. I mean, I wanted to reach out to you. You said, "Like, we can't do it right now." I mean, I'm hungry for fellowship. Because I know that's my house. Because I know that's the house that's going to accept me. And I'm not trying to win the world. I don't have to win the world. I've been won by Christ. I'm not trying to appear good with the world. I don't need it at this age. When you get to this age, don't try to. I mean, nobody's concerned about your clothes. Everybody's too busy thinking about theirs. It's fellowship. It's not the building, folks. It's the people in the building. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As I close, it's fellowship. You want to know where you are spiritually? Do you pray every day? Do you meditate on the word day and night? Do you proclaim the gospel? And do you know how to fellowship? Because if you do that, you're fine. You don't have to memorize every verse. You don't have to know every Bible. Do you pray every day? Do you breathe? Do you meditate on the word? When you face a problem, money problem, what's the verse that God says that overrules that? Relational problem, what's the verse that God says that makes that even better? When I get into a snag and look at stuff I shouldn't be looking in, I'd say things that I shouldn't be saying, proclaim the gospel. And how do I stay healthy? Live in the house of God in fellowship. Amen? Amen? It says, be devoted to one another. It says, honor one another. It says, love one another. It says, accept one another. This is the house of God. Instruct one another. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm instructing you. That's the church. It says, care for one another. It says, serve one another. It says, encourage one another. It says, pray for one another. It says, carry each other's burdens. That's why I love this house. When I almost lost a child, 50 people showed up at church and encouraged me. When my father was dying, Doctors showed up everywhere, wanted to do house visits. I said, don't do it. I know you're a director of such and such hospital. I'll take care of it. I want to help, because that's what fellowship is. Somebody who carries your burdens when you can't carry your own load. But that's not going to happen if you don't live in that house. That happens when you live in that house. So why should we give thanks? Because the physical has become spiritual. Right? Yes. How do I do it? The same way that your physical body needs air, pray. The same way that your physical body needs food, meditate on the word day and night. Rationalize. I had a woman in Tokyo, Japan. I've got a few seconds here. As soon as I landed, I walked into the church. She started hugging me and says, thank you, thank you. I said, for what? For telling me to meditate on the word day and night. Said I was suicidal. I'm about to kill myself. I started to just do what you said. Every time there's a wrong thought, I just look for a verse on Google. And then I start to meditate. I will not let the day pass without thinking about this thing. And the more I thought about it, the more my spirit changed. It works. It's so simple that we think it doesn't work. It actually works. Clothe yourself with the gospel. You will make mistakes, trust me. You're a physical being. You will commit sin. But he's paid a price. Live in God's house. Fellowship with other believers. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Just be still, close your eyes, bow your heads if you want to. Just be still right now and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do a work in each of us to make a choice even today to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth. Thank you for turning the physical into spiritual. And as an act of our thanksgiving, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's our desire, Father. And that's your prayer this morning. If you're saying, God, I want to be thankful. I want to live this way. I want to pray. I want to meditate. Lord, and I fail, I'm just going to get up and use the get out of jail card free again. If that's your heart and your faith, would you just lift up both your hands towards God today? Lord, I'm not asking you. Don't look at anywhere. Just focus on him. I'm asking you, God. Help me live in the realm of being thankful, of being grateful for all that you've done for me. And Lord, as an act of faith, I'm believing that you're going to teach me how to pray, how to meditate on your word day and night, and how to always, never, ever forget what Jesus did for me. And lead me to the right people, the right fellowship, the right relationships that will be with me for the rest of my lifetime and beyond my lifetime. Be it done according to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. And then, well, God bless you guys.